A night to remember, a couples event on Valentine's Day. We'd love to have you, especially some young couples, to come out and celebrate marriage. Youth mission trip today, they're having a meeting 4 to 7, and then 7 to 9 is youth group. Daddy-daughter dance, February 8th, always a great event. Women's Bunko Night is February 7th. Also, we started a new membership class today that's at 9 o'clock, so if you just want to, if you're interested in joining or want to review what you learned so long ago, you can attend that. Also, West Maple Parochial School, or West Maple is having a parochial school visitation day here at Redeemer. That's January 29th, and you can check out your announcements to see who's going to be here. Women's Book Group, January 28th, and Kids Against Hunger today. We are packing over 40,000 meals, and so if you can help, there's two shifts. Check it out in your announcements, but we need many hands to make that happen. And Jerry Honeman was called to his heavenly home this past week. There's a visitation at Desmond Funeral Home on Crooks Road, Monday 2 to 8, and then the service will be here Tuesday with 10 o'clock visitation in Town Square and 11 o'clock worship service and a luncheon following. We rise for opening hymn.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord.
The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit.
A broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Invite the children forward for the children's message. This is for me? Thank you. What does it say? Oh, now I can read it. You're the best pastor ever. Thank you. Wow, we just heard a great song, How Great Thou Art. Speaking of God, why is God great? Let's think, why is God great? He gave us love, right? And in the song, it talks about God creating this world. It talks about God sending his son to die for us and come back to life. And it talks about when Christ shall return again. Why are we so happy that we have a God? What did he? He died for our sins, exactly. And that means we get to go to heaven. That was the price for us to get to heaven. And that makes me super happy, and it should make you super happy. And so guess what you're getting today? Super ball. With a smiley face that says, God loves you. Thanks for coming up, and you go to Sunday school now.
The Old Testament reading for today is taken from the book of Leviticus, chapter 4, verses 13 through 20. If the whole Israelite community sins unintentionally and does what is forbidden in any of the Lord's commands, even though the community is unaware of the matter, when they realize their guilt and the sin they committed becomes known, the assembly must bring a young bull as a sin offering and present it before the tent of meeting. The elders of the community are to lay their hands on the bull's head before the Lord, and the bull shall be slaughtered before the Lord. Then the anointed priest is to take some of the bull's blood into the tent of meeting. He shall dip his finger into the blood and sprinkle it before the Lord seven times in front of the curtain. He is to put some of the blood on the horns of the altar that is before the Lord in the tent of meeting. The rest of the blood he shall pour out at the base of the altar of burnt offering at the entrance to the tent of meeting. He shall remove all the fat from it and burn it on the altar and do with this bull just as he did with the bull for the sin offering. In this way, the priest will make atonement for the community and they will be forgiven. Here ends the Old Testament reading. The epistle reading for today is taken from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 7 through 16. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so, from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Here ends the epistle reading.
Please rise for the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter.
Glory be to thee,
he said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. Here ends the Holy Gospel.
Praise be to thee.
I believe in God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand. He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So in heaven one day, the gates to enter heaven were broken. And the souls were starting to pile up in the waiting area. And Gabriel went to Satan and said, listen, you know, we have an agreement, a contract, that if that gate breaks, you're to fix it. And he said, I'm sorry, all my handymen are on strike. And Gabriel says, it doesn't matter. You got to fix it. He said, listen, Gabe, just have some patience. And finally, Gabriel said, listen, we had a contract. We're going to take you to court. Satan laughed and he said, where in heaven are you going to find a lawyer? Today, we're in the midst of a sermon series inspired by our confirmants who have great questions, challenging questions. Today, the question is, did the souls of the Old Testament people, the believers, go to heaven when they died? Christ hadn't yet died for their sins and paid the price. So were they still accountable and did not enter heaven? Believe it or not, there's a lot of debate and discussion about this. Now, some people, looking at Old Testament verses, would come to the conclusion that when you died, you went to some type of holding place. There was a holding place for those who didn't believe, and there was a holding place for those who believed. And they would look at scripture like this from Hebrews 10, day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin. And so they would say, how could they be in heaven if Christ hadn't paid the price yet? They would even look at scripture like Ephesians 4. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ appointed it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does the ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. They would look at that verse. He took many captives. Did he bring freedom? So they would look at this verse and say, okay, that holding tank where the righteous souls were, Christ took them to heaven when he ascended. But didn't Jesus tell the thief on the cross, I tell you the truth, today you'll be with me in paradise? So you can see it's a complicated teaching. The Roman Catholic Church, in their catechism, says this: the dear Christ went down to the realm of the dead. He opened heaven's gate for the just who had gone before him. So there, the Roman Catholics would believe that approach to Scripture, that it was at Christ's ascension that he opened these gates. Now, it's a challenging question. What happens when you die? Martin Luther was a strong proponent of soul sleep. Soul sleep is just this idea that when you die, your soul goes to sleep. And you have no concept of time. And then when Christ returns, your soul is woken up. And yet again, we would go to the passage of the thief on the cross where Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. In 1 Peter 3, after being made alive, he went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirits, to those who were disobedient long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only few people, eight in all, were saved through water. Now, here we're told Jesus descended into hell. We say it in our creed. This is where we get that idea from. But there's no mention of a holding tank of righteous souls. We're told he went and preached a message of victory to those who were disobedient, like in the days of Noah, who did not repent, who did not believe in God. We as Lutherans, all the Lutheran church bodies, would say the Old Testament believers, when they died, they went immediately to heaven. Now, obviously, this is not one of those doctrinal things that are going to separate you from God because you believe wrong. It's a challenging question, and I can see the line of reasoning going the other way. And yet, so many places in the Old Testament would support that once a person died, they went to heaven. You know, Jesus said, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Of the living. Our Hebrews epistle lesson for today was about people of the Old Testament who lived by faith, and they were saved by faith. And what we were told in that reading? They were looking forward to a country whose builder and architect was God. They were looking forward to heaven. They believed when they would breathe their last, they would go to be with their God in the glory of heaven. Psalm 23, verse 6, surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Ecclesiastes 12, 7, and as dust returns, referring to our death, and the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Another Old Testament passage, Psalm 16, 11. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. 2 Kings, Old Testament. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to heaven in the whirlwind. Psalm 73, 24, you guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me into your glory. There's so many passages that would teach us that the Old Testament believers went to heaven by grace. You and I look back to a past event, and we believe even though our sins occurred after the sacrifice for our forgiveness, we have forgiveness. Well, they looked forward to an event. They may have not understood completely what was going to happen, but they knew their sacrificial system was an indicator that God was going to sacrifice something on their behalf, and that would be his son, Jesus Christ. And so as we're saved by grace after the fact, they were saved by grace before the fact. You know, heaven isn't our final destination. I don't think sometimes we don't emphasize that enough. You know, we've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Wasn't that a great song? Rick Heldrop, our pianist at 8 o'clock, loved it because he's a Baptist at heart. It's a good Baptist hymn. It reminds us that we are washed and cleansed in the blood of Jesus. And because we have been cleansed in the blood of Jesus, because that sacrifice has been made, heaven is ours. You know, no matter what the sin, it's forgivable except the sin of unbelief. That's the unforgivable sin. And no matter what you've done, what you're guilty of, what you carry around, it has been covered and washed in the blood of the Lamb. Heaven isn't our final place. There's a resurrection. And this is not a New Testament concept. In the book of Job, last week we talked a little about the book of Job. It's the oldest book of the Bible. It was the first written book. Job talks about his death, and he said, even after worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. I will behold him with mine own eyes and not another. Another passage from Daniel, Old Testament, chapter 12. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. 1 Thessalonians 4, New Testament verse about the Lord returning. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. After that, we who are still alive at our left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. You know, Jesus rose on a very important day. The day he rose from the dead was the day of the Feast of First Fruits. The Feast of First Fruits, the Jews would bring in the beginning of the harvest. And the priest would take it and wave it before God in the temple. And this first fruit was not only a show of faith that God will provide more, that's why I give my first and very best, but it was also a reminder that there was going to be a greater harvest. So Jesus, because he rose on that day, and the New Testament is called the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. And as he rose, he's the beginning of the harvest, so shall we. To a new heaven and a new earth. Can you imagine living life, thinking all that we have is, this is it. I mean, earth, that's it. There's no existence beyond earth. When you die, you're done. You're gone. You're forgotten. Can you imagine living like that? To know we have a heaven and that God has paid the price. What is the mission of the church but to proclaim this message? You know, I love marketing. You'll see a commercial on TV and you say, oh my gosh, I have to have it. They convince you have to have it and you get it. What's our marketing? Eternity. The gift of salvation, that God sent his son into the world, not to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And you and I have people in our life who believe this world is all there is. They have no idea that the soul was made and created to live forever. And we have that joy to bring them to the shadow of the cross. You know, congregation lost two people recently that were known by many, Jack Warva. The service was yesterday. He used to be an usher here. You know, he was a really good painter. In fact, he did do a couple paintings for Redeemer, and they hang in the Shite Room. But I brought him up for the service, and I left him out so you can look at him today. And then Jerry Honeman. You know, how many cookies that you have eaten that he has made? It's just such a gift. Always brought baked goods. Wonderful man. You know, at the end, they couldn't wait to be done. They had such confidence and trust that they could be out of that body, out of that pain, out of that suffering, and be with the Lord. That's the confidence we should have. Let me just leave you with the words of Paul. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We rise to sing the offertory.
Thank you.
Please rise. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that you have opened heaven to us in the baptism of your Son, Jesus Christ. These heavens were opened, your Spirit sent down, and you announced your love. You said, "This is my beloved Son," and so you have said to us, dear Lord, in our baptism, we are your beloved children. We come to you with hands open, in need of your mercies each day. We bring before you all those who are suffering the pains of death, especially the family and friends of Jack Orva, the family and friends of Jerry Honeman, and the family and friends of Dolores Olson. We know, dear Lord, that you have brought these three to yourself in heaven for their wonderful gift that you've given them in their faith. Their faith is completed and their race is won. But for us here, dear Lord, help us to grieve, help us to look to you for all things, and for the comfort of the resurrection to come. For all who face health concerns, dear Lord, remind them always that as you walked among us in the flesh, healing those in bodily need, so you continued to work through the hands of doctors and nurses and through the hands of those who show their love as family and friends. We ask that you would strengthen their hands that they might continue to show your mercy to these we bring before you. And for these we list this day, give them hope that you will continue to heal them both in body and soul until the last day when their healing is complete. For Dave, Chris Decker, Joseph Carley III, Charlene and Beverly, Kurt Young, Taylor, Marilyn Stargard, Rhonda, Betty Owens, Rudy Becker, Vic Moigas, Suzanne Stock, Bruce Landino and Joe Cotant, Fred Rohrbach, Janelle Thorne, Bob Ernewine, Margot Gray. For all who are homebound, dear Lord, we ask for your strength and encouragement, especially for Dick Keel. For President Trump and all world leaders, grant them your wisdom that they might administer a justice and authority in your name to us who are in most need. For all who serve in the military, police, and firefighters, grant them success in their work that they might protect us and bring them home to their families in safety. For those who celebrate birthdays and anniversaries, we give you thanks. For the sanctuary altar flowers placed by the Conti family, the chapel altar flowers placed by the Ortal family, we give you thanks. For the family of Soup Kitchen and Positive Parenting sponsors, the Klaus family, the Stargard family, the Medling Bayan family, and the Priscorn family, we give you thanks. Amen.
Oh, Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you peace.
Amen. Amen.